720 WGN. It is Dane in for Nick until 5 a.m. today as we close out the week. Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Segru in the booth. And, you know, for all the guests that we've had this entire week, this one touches on, a bunch of different things, like a very diverse background, a lot of interesting topics that are in there. Certainly the inspirational side of art, right? And Dino, I don't know, were you good at art, at drawing? Was that one of your favorite classes, or did you dread it?
Yeah, I was not very artistically inclined. My mother, awesome at art. She was a great painter.
Not so much.
Me, I stick people as far as I got.
How good was she at imitating Harry Carey?
She wasn't very good at that at all.
That's
but
right.
She did. She was able to understand why I did it, I guess. That's all that really mattered.
Take that, Bob. And Dan, you had mentioned, too, that kind of a scribbler, right? Not necessarily the artistic side. Well, we're going to talk with our next guest about being able to learn to draw better. I think it is something I've always kind of enjoyed doing. As like a kid, I was able to draw pretty well, right? I haven't really kind of, got it into where I'm making the most of it. And so we'll get some tips not only for myself, but also for the listeners as well. Now, here's the other thing, too, is the court. Oftentimes you do not have, photographers in court. You don't have video in court. And we are dependent on those court artists for setting the sketches, the tone. Some of those pictures are some of the most famous ones in some of those iconic cases throughout history. And the hearings for the Watergate.
That's right. Watergate.
That's amazing. All right. One of the biggest events in American history, strictly on the politics side. And then you bring in sumo wrestling. I know, Dino, what you're thinking. What do those have in common?
Not a whole lot.
Well, the one thing that they do have in common is the amazing Lynn Matsuoka. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning.
So, Lynn, how are you doing today? First off, how's everything going? And anything exciting going on in your life as you're calling us, I think, from New York, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Out in the Hamptons, in the sticks, as I call it.
Oh, but those are some nice sticks and some great ones as well. And let's talk a little bit about the court sketch artist side of things. It's the kind of thing that I think it's always been kind of fascinating that you're in there. And how do you do it? How do you go? I mean, I know that you're trying to kind of give the impression of the participants. But sometimes, those situations are so emotionally charged. How do you relay that and kind of capture it in those sketches?
Well, I've done a number of very interesting trials where you do have emotion and you have story. But for the Watergate part, I was being shuffled around the country, and I was young then. I was about 22, 23, and they were shuffling me around the country to the hearings, and there's a distinction to be made between the hearings and the trials. With the hearings, they have the person of the moment. The first one I went to, for instance, was this guy, Don Segretti, who was called the Weasel. He was a lawyer himself, but he was a guy who got everybody through the door and into the breaking into these offices at the Watergate building, Democratic offices. He was dragged into the courtroom in chains, and the only people who were there were us artists. It was myself and seven other artists, because each news bureau had their own artist representing them. There was a judge, and there was a court stenographer, and that was it. And the guy came in, he stood in front of the judge for a minute and a half by somebody's count, and then they dragged him out of the courtroom, and that was it. And we, as artists sitting there about 15 feet away, didn't hear what was going on. It was very quick, it was very muffled, and our challenge was to get a drawing as fast as possible, because this is 1973, there's no internet, there's no computer, there's no digital anything. So we had to get a drawing down, run out of the courtroom, hand it to our cameraman, and he would shoot it and then race it back to the news bureau, and they'd get it on TV.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay, so there's like so many restrictions on the courtroom itself as far as what you could have in there, and for something with time constraints like that. So, Lynn, did you have? You look at a lot of them. It looks like it's maybe I don't know. Is it chalk? Or, I mean, for the medium, were there any restrictions, or could you use anything you wanted? Obviously, you wanted something you could do quick, but did you have any kind of constraints on what you could use to draw things in the courtroom?
No, whatever you could walk in with and walk out with. You can't set up an easel and a paint box. That's the ambulatory.
That's awesome.
But for myself, I always use a really soft pencil and a piece of paper. I mean, there are people who use watercolors, and there are other people who use markers. Everybody has their own thing, you know. I use a graphite pencil, and I hit it with some oil pastel. For me, that's very mobile. I can fit everything. I've been doing this all these years, ever since the Watergate time. I've been doing that behind the scenes at Broadway shows, Kabuki theater, sumo wrestling, sitting on the line at the NFL game, you know. Everything that I use to create a fast drawing, I can fit in the palm of my hand, because I'm usually sitting in a place where I don't belong, so I have to get up and move fast.
Well, here,
drag along stuff.
Here's the thing. You think about in the courtroom and in the sketching there, where you're having to kind of breathe, some life into things, where you're maybe having to translate kind of emotion or tension into the artwork. And then you take it to the sports side of things, where, you know, there's so much action, right? There's so much action. You're trying to contain some of it and get a snapshot of that and translate it to the artwork. Let's talk a little bit about the sumo side of things, because, you know, so many sports that we have out there, it is one of the world's great sports, but it is still, at least for people here, a little mysterious. Talk about how you got involved in that.
Well, I was invited over to Tokyo in 1973, at the same time I was doing the Watergate hearings. And by the way, CBS had told me that they were giving me the first Watergate trial, which would start in 74. So I said, okay, I'm leaving for 6 months. I'll be back in January, the trial started in February. So I went for my six-month job being a fashion illustrator. And sometime toward the end of that 6 months, I discovered something called sumo. I had never heard of it, but it just grabbed me, just a flash and dazzle, and the way that the athletes just created sculptures out of their bodies. You know, they were beautiful figures to me. And I just got drawn to it, no pun intended, and it just never let go. So I followed down every possible lead I could find. It's a very closed, traditional man's world, and you can't just walk into a practice session. I would go to the tournaments and try to get close to the dohyo, the ring, so I could do some drawings up close, and they'd throw me out because I didn't have a ticket for the front seat. So I networked, and it turned out that everyone I talked to was another portal closer into that world, and I wound up having a high-level introduction, which is what you need in Japan, and I wound up sitting at the practice rings of some of the top stables, as they call them, of the time. All the sumo wrestlers are divided among what they call stables. Well, in Japanese, it's heia, which means room, but they're loosely described as stables. So they're anywhere from 5 to 30 guys in a stable. So I started going to the practice rings in the morning to do the drawings. And in the courtroom, where everybody's pretty much stationary, the sumo wrestlers are running each other, rolling around in the clay, doing all kinds of things. And it was great for me. It was great practice to draw a moving target, I guess you could say. And I was so fascinated with it, I started going every day, and I forgot to come home for the Watergate trial. I stayed 37
years. Jeez Louise. Well, we don't know that you forgot. I know that there is some magic there and some relationships, not only with art and with the artistic side of it in the sport, but also individuals and one of the top sumo personalities as well. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then also, you know, capturing, you know, some of these fast moving sports like horse racing and some of the artwork that you're doing, and of course that and the website where people can get more information as well. So hold tight, and we'll be right back with Lynn Matsusoko in just a little bit. 720 WGN, it is Dane in for Nick D for a few more minutes here till 5 a.m. Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Segrew in the booth and on the line with us. We are lucky to have, one of the foremost court artists for the Watergate hearings, and also, somebody who has been painting and doing artwork for a bunch of different sports that don't always get, I think, the attention and the mysterious world of sumo. We've got Lynn Matsuoka. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi.
So here's the thing. So you're able to go ahead, and obviously you've had a love affair with the sport, with the culture in Japan, and painted it and translated it. And the website is hamptonsartist.com to be able to see some of the things. And I know that you have not only, you know, insight into how people can be better artists, but also you've got a lot of your artwork that is available and all those things. You think about the love affair with sumo, which has been such a big thing for you, but you've got horse racing and even baseball, right? I even looked on the site, and you've even got our very own, do we still consider him our very own? I know there's been a falling out. Well, Sammy Sosa has made it into one of your paintings as well.
Right, yes. Some years ago, when he was really hot, I was living in Japan at the time, and the All-Star Game was being played in Tokyo. So I was commissioned to do a full-page illustration of three players to create a kind of logo look for a Major League Baseball event. And Sosa, of course, was at the top, and there was Curt Schilling on one side, and there was, I can't remember the name of the other player. And then the All-Star logo in the middle is one of the pieces I love the most.
Yeah, I think Dana just mentioned, he just said it into my ear, was Nomar Garcia-Parra that you had added to that. And we know about Japan's fascination with American baseball. It is one of their great pastimes as well. As somebody who knows both of those sports, do you think there is a chance, with either some of the outreach that you've done or people becoming more familiar, that maybe Americans could fall in love with sumo?
No. It's funny you mention that, because when I went over there in 73, I had never heard of sumo. And then I married a top division Japanese sumo wrestler, actually, in 1979. And when I brought him back here, we came back in 1981 to New York. We walked down the street, and he looked different than anyone else you saw on the street in New York City, I assure you. And people would come up to me and say, "Is that a..." because people didn't realize samurai had been gone for 100 years, but nobody ever thought he was a sumo wrestler, because nobody ever heard of sumo in those days. But now everybody has some idea of what they think sumo might be, because something called amateur sumo has proliferated around the world. There are millions of people, men mostly, doing sumo around the world, or trying to approximate what sumo is, and they have clubs. These guys are serious. They try to live the life when they're practicing sport anyway. And now everybody seems to know what sumo is. And it's mind-boggling. Things have changed.
Well, sports, and specifically sumo, has been such an inspiration to you on the artistic side. And whatever, I guess, you can do, or whatever can be that thing to light that fire on the art and the drawing and the sketching side. So before we let you go, and we definitely want to let people know, we're talking with Lynn Matsuoka, artist, and of course hamptonsartist.com is the website to get more information and even see a lot of the things and even get some of the stuff. But give some tips, for those people. Yeah. Like, I've learned to draw a little bit. Not that great, right? Dino, you need some help. Dan, you need some help. I'm sure some listeners do. What would you share with them?
Well, I've been developing a program for people who want to get into their creative side. People these days live too much in their heads, and this is for people who are not artists. People who say they can't. I heard somebody over there say, "I can only draw a stick figure." Hey, that's a start. If you sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and sit somebody down in front of you, or sit down in front of your goldfish or your cat, it doesn't matter. If they're breathing, living, that's a good thing, because then the energy transfers seriously. Just take that pencil and try to really calm yourself down, take a deep breath, look at your subject, and try to draw it. Don't worry about what it's going to look like. Try to focus on it and draw it. This thing in front of you. Take a few minutes to do that, and you'll find that you can really center yourself and really calm yourself down. It's a wonderful exercise for focus and centering. So I've been helping people with that recently. It's a wonderful thing to try.
Yeah.
And
so,
I'm going to be putting something on the website about doing that, so people can contact me for guidance if they'd like.
Okay. So you've got not only on the artistic side and trying to get to be better at it, but also just kind of, like you said, just disregard necessarily, or don't put any pressure on yourself of what it's going to look like, that just the act of drawing is kind of therapeutic, right?
Absolutely. It's really the act of focusing. And the drawing is, again, no pun intended, but it's a tool to get you to focus. It brings you into a kind of meditation if you can achieve that focus. Yeah, it's wonderful.
We're talking with artist Lynn Matsuoko, and her website is www.hamptonsartist.com. She is calling us from the Hamptons as we speak. And so, Lynn, if you've got anything else that you want to share with the listeners as far as social media, ways that people can keep up with you, I know the website is one of those things, but do you do anything with, you know, Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or any of those things?
Yes, I was doing something with Instagram until I got a new phone, and now it refuses to let me do it. So I've got to get somebody to get me back on track with that. But I have a Facebook page. It's called The Secret World of Lynn Matsuoka, and I put images up and different things from my upcoming book on sumo. And I'd love to hear from people if they have any comments or questions. They can look at that or the website. And I have a blog that you can get to. If you go onto the website, there's a little strip there that you click on and takes you to the blog, which is from the memoir I'm writing about my years with sumo and a touch about kabuki. But it's not about me. It's about them, because they're so interesting, much more than I am.
Oh, stop. The website, HamptonsArtist.com, The Secret World of Lynn Matsuoka. It's a secret no more, Lynn, and hopefully people will be able to not only get in there, see some of the great artwork, learn a little bit about your story, and hopefully be inspired to add and incorporate art and drawing into their own lives as well. So thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for getting up and joining us today on WGN.
Well, thank you so much for your interest. It's been fun.
All right. Look at that. All right. Thanks, Lynn. So have you been inspired, Dino? Now, maybe it wasn't, you didn't want to draw Skippy the Turtle, you know, from the back of the TV guide. Now that if you've got, like, cool subjects like Nomar Garcia-Pera as your inspiration, maybe a Sammy Sosa?
Well, I don't know about the subjects themselves, but I certainly would like to learn how to draw a little bit better. I mean, I can horse around.
I can see you with like a tam, like a beret, you know, at a, you know, in a street somewhere, maybe in, on the Champs-Élysées, you know.
Yeah, just sitting there having a cup of cappuccino and trying to paint or try to draw something. I don't know. I'm not sure how that plays out, but yeah, like I say, I've never really been someone that could draw well, and maybe I need to check out her
that
website
ends today.
And see.
That ends today. We are going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to wrap the show up. It's staying here for Nick D on 720 WGN.